Hare Krishna. So are you all ready for Sharanagati? Huh? So today is a very serious one. Today's limb of Sharanagati is surrender of the self. Atma Nivedan. Dainya, yesterday we did Dainya, how to become humble. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing us how to become humble. What is the first criteria for becoming humble? Who remembers? Yes, Chandrasekhar? Okay, anyway. Anyone? Yes, Mahesh Pandit. Surrender, no, before, I mean, according to that, what we sang yesterday. Yes, Mother Krishna Priya. Yes, and as a result of that, what happens? Get rid of our false ego. The main criteria for becoming humble is giving up our false ego. Because false ego makes us proud. False ego means pride. And getting rid of false ego means now we are ready to become humble. Like what is like our what is the biggest impediment in our surrendering to Krishna? A false ego. When we become free from our false ego, then only we can become a servant of Krishna. The whole business is to become a servant of Krishna. And in order to become a servant of Krishna, we have to surrender to Krishna. Unless we surrender to the master, how can we become his servant? Doesn't the servant have to surrender to the master? Therefore, Sharanagati, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminded us, what is Sharanagati? Sharanagati is surrender, and how to surrender? In order to teach us how to surrender, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And this surrender is Bhakatiro Pran. This surrender is the life and soul of devotional service. So, in order to surrender, there are six limbs of surrender. The first one is Dainya. The second one is Atma Nivedan. Dainya, Atma Nivedan. So today we are going to do the Atma Nivedan. So the song we selected from the Atma Nivedan chapter is Manasa Deha Geha Jo Kichu Mor Orpilu Tuapade Nanda Kishore. Manasa means mind. Deha means body. Geha means house and everything that is related to the house. Family, possessions, jo kichu mor, whatever I have. Orpilu means offer. Orpilu tua pade, tua means yours, and pade means feet, lotus feet. Orpilu tua pade Nanda Kishore. Who is Nanda Kishore? Krishna. Orpilu tua pade Nanda Kishore. Whatever I have, my body, my mind, my possessions, everything I'm offering to you, O son of Nanda Maharaj. Shampade means wealth, or it can also mean that at the time of prosperity. And bipade means at the time of in danger. Whether I am happy or I am in distress, whether I am in the middle of opulent situation or whether I am in distress. Daimamo galatua opado borone. Now that I have taken shelter of those two lotus feet, I have become free from all anxiety. I have become free from all responsibilities. Daimamo galatua opado borone. Let's see how. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, jibane morone, life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by accepting those feet of yours as my only shelter. Marobi rakhobi. Marobi means kill. Rakhobi means whether you protect me. Whether you kill me or protect me. Marobi rakhobi. Joichha tohara, whatever you desire. Nitya dasho prati tua adhikara. You have all your right over your eternal servant. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have full authority over your eternal servant. Does the master have full authority over the eternal servant? So that is our situation. Krishna is our master and Krishna has complete authority over us. Whatever he wants, he can do. We can't really complain. Whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants to kill us, he can kill us. If he wants to protect us, he can protect us. We can't say, Krishna, because I have surrendered to you, you have to always protect me. That, of course, will come when you recognize that Krishna is such a wonderful master. Then we recognize that Krishna protects us under all circumstances. Even in our death, Krishna protects us. It is not that because we have surrendered to Krishna, we will not die. Everybody will die. But the situation of a devotee is that he knows that even in his death, Krishna will protect him. Rather, the real reward of Krishna will come at that time. The real test of our spiritual life will come at that time. Like an examination. You prepare throughout the year, and then at the end of the year comes the exams. Now, if you prepared well, then what do you want to do? If you have prepared well throughout the year, you look forward to the exams. Only those who haven't prepared, they become afraid at the time of examination. But those who are well prepared, they're ready to face that situation because they know this is the time then that we can prove our learning. Our preparation will be tested at that time. So, marobi rakhobi joichha tohara nitya dasho prati tua adhikara. Janmaobi moe ichha jodi tor. Janmaobi means if you want me to take birth, if you want me to be born, janmaobi moe ichha jodi tor. If that is your desire, if you desire that I should take birth, janmaobi moe ichha jodi tor, bhokato grihe jane janmoho mor. Please allow me to take birth in the house of a devotee. If you wish that I be born again, then may I take birth in the home of your devotee. And that is the devotee's desire. Devotees don't say, oh no, I don't want to take birth again. No, devotees surrender to Krishna. And surrendered means whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna says, you take birth again, Then devotee's prayer is that please let me take birth in the house of your devotee, in the family of your devotee, or as a son of your devotee. Kito janamo ho jatha tua dash. Kito means insect. Jatha tua dash. Kito janamo ho. Let me be born as an insect in the house where your servants are. Jatha means where. Tua means yours. Dash means servant. Where, let me be born as an insect where your devotees are. May I be born again even as a worm as long as I remain your devotee. And so he translated it this way. That I'm okay. And Bohir Mukho Brahmo Janme Nahi Ash. I have no desire to be born as Brahma, averse to you. Bhukti Mukti Spriha Bihino Je Bhakto Labha Ite Tako Sanga Anurakto. I yearn for the company of the devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Bhukti means worldly enjoyment. And mukti means liberation. Bhukti mukti spriha bihino. Spriha means desire. And bihin means devoid of. Bhukti mukti spriha bihino je bhakto labhoite tako sango anurakto. Labhoite means to obtain. Very good. Labhoite tako sango anurakto. I always yearn for the association of a devotee who is devoid of the desire for material enjoyment or even liberation. Janoko janoni doito tanaya prabhu guru pati tuhu sarvamaya. Janoko janoni. Janok means father, janoni means mother. Janoko janoni doito. Doito means lover. Tanaya means son. Janoko janoni doito tanaya prabhu. Lord, Guru, preceptor, spiritual master. Prabhu, Guru, Poti, husband. Tuhu sarvamaya. You are my everything. You are my father, you are my mother, you are my lover, you are my son, you are my Lord, you are my preceptor, you are my husband. Wherever my main attachment is, that is you. Or in this way, we will develop our loving relationship with Krishna. Some will see Krishna as his father, some will see Krishna even as a mother. If someone is very attached to mother, then let him see Krishna as the mother. See Krishna as the lover, Krishna as the son, Krishna as the Lord, Krishna as the preceptor, Krishna as the husband. Bhakoti binodo kahi suno kano radhanatho tuhu hamaro parano. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, kahi suno kano, he kanhaiya. Hey Krishna, please listen to me. Radha Natha Tuhu Hamaro Parano. O Lord of Srimati Radharani, you are my life and soul. So now this is how we have to surrender ourselves to Krishna. The first consideration is surrendering means surrendering the mind, surrendering the mind means, surrendering the mind to Krishna means, think only about Krishna and don't think of anything else. Think of only about Krishna and things related to Krishna. Think about Krishna and service to Krishna. Otherwise, most of the time, what do we think about? Most of the time, we think about our own sense gratification. Body and matters related to the body. That is what our general state of mind, conditioned state. But mind's actual state is manmanabhava. With the mind you think of Krishna. Krishna is saying, offer your mind to me, manmana. Think of me. The mind's business is to think. So what should we think about? We have the option to think about, actually the natural tendency will be to think about the things that are around us. But the mind's actual business is to think about Krishna. That is the difficulties that we are facing right now. We are in a world of matter. We are in a world of sense gratification. And all the objects are actually alluring our senses to gratify them. But the thing is, the actual business of mind is to think of Krishna. Now the yogis meditate upon Krishna. That's why they go away from everything. Go to a solitary place and practice yoga. The purpose of yoga is to free the mind initially. Pratyahara. Shravananda Prabhu was telling us yesterday that he went to Jamaica to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Away from everything, on top of a mountain. He was free. What was he doing? He was trying to free his mind from the allurements of the senses and the objects of the senses, the material world. This leads to jam, niyam, asan, pranayam. Bhakta Steve was teaching us pranayam yesterday. What is the purpose of pranayam? Do you know what's the purpose of pranayam? Mother Krishna Priya? Yes, very good. Yes. Prana, right. And control the prana means stop breathing. Stop breathing. Because our breathing has a link with our mind. The way we breathe, it affects our thought. Like when you are very peaceful, how do you breathe? You breathe slowly, soft, slowly. When you're agitated, how do you breathe? Fast. So this is how our breathing actually affects the mind. Or is our breathing has a link with our mind. So now in order to stop the mind from all the activities, breathing, like pranayama very systematically does that. Pranayam consists of three practices. Rechaka, Puraka and Kumbhaka. Right, Shravananda Prabhu? Rechaka means exhale. Puraka means to inhale. Generally, our breathing consists of these two practices. Inhaling and exhaling. But there is another factor that modern medical science doesn't know about. That is to retain. Breathing is not only just inhaling and exhaling. Breathing also has another factor, that is to retain the air. So that is called kumbhak. Stop. No more exhaling or inhaling, just. And the yogi extends the period of Kumbhaka. Like he systematically extends in such a way that Kumbhaka, that he doesn't either inhale or exhale for a long, long time. Sometimes a perfect, anyway, it's sometimes a yogi sometimes wouldn't breathe for, I mean, wouldn't take a breath for a long time. We have seen, like you have seen sometimes, I mean, in Kumbh Mela also now you see, like they go underground, some yogis. They're buried underground. And they stay there. 2 days, 3 days. And it's become everybody can watch that. Now actually what they do, they have mastered the art of not breathing. They can start, they can stay without breathing for so long. 2 days, no breathing. But a Siddha yogi, a perfect yogi, can even stop breathing altogether. So this yoga is not such an easy thing. And this is only the fourth stage of yoga out of 8 stages. This is just the preparation. Just the preparation. And when you have perfected the stage of pranayama, then you can do the go to the fifth stage. What is the fifth stage? Pratyahara. Withdrawal. Withdrawing the senses from the objects of the senses. Pratyahara. At that time, the objects can be there in front of the senses, but they won't be registered. Like the object, our eyes can be open and the object can be in front of our eyes, but we don't register it. Doesn't it often happen? If our mind is not there, do we register what is there? Did you notice what is there at the behind the behind this, right in front of you? Have you been noticing the wall? Have you been seeing the wall, although the wall was there? Why not? Because your mind was not there. So the objects and the senses, the perception of the senses takes place only when the mind is there between the sense, linked between the senses and the object of the senses. So yogi learns how to pratyahara, withdraw the mind from all the sense activities. And then only begins dhyan, meditation. Then only one becomes qualified to meditate. Meditation is not just a cheap thing. Sitting in the house in the middle of New York City for 5 minutes, do the meditation or pranayama. So Prabhupada pointed out from Bhagavad Gita, quoting Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, the first consideration of meditation is that you have to leave the crowded place. Go to a solitary place. And then select a place which is not too high or not too low. And these are the initial criteria. So in this way, as I was saying, a yogi tries to free the mind from the onslaughts of the material surrounding. And then he projects the mind. Dhyan. Dhyan means what? Meditating on whom? Meditating on Krishna. That is the real meditation. Everybody is meditating. But everybody normally is meditating on material objects. How often people meditate on money? Always. So most of the time, they are meditating on dhanam, janam, sundarim. So meditation is not a big deal. But the real purpose is to meditate on Krishna. And that is the meaning of man-mana-bhava. Dhyan, and when the dhyan meditation becomes fixed up, then it is dharan, fixed. Mind now has become fixed. And when the reciprocation begins between the Lord and the devotee or yogi, then that is samadhi. He is transported to another reality, spiritual sky. And sharanagati actually begins after that. Surrender begins after that. Prapatti. Prapatti comes after perception of the Lord in the heart. We see the Lord in the heart and then we surrender unto Him. But in our case, we have actually, that was the normal condition previously. That through perfection of yoga, after attaining the perfection of yoga, one used to come to the platform of devotional service. Do you remember how often Prabhupada said that when one has come to the platform of devotional service, it has to be understood that he has transcended all other stages. He has transcended the platform of karma, jnana, yoga, etc. Why? Because that is how this platform one used to achieve previously. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and directly gave us. Now you can see why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most munificent. He has given us something that one used to achieve after perfection of yoga. What I described, after practicing all that, when one used to achieve perfection, then he used to come to this platform. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us directly without any consideration of qualification. So, now, what is the difference of, like as I was saying, like one way is by Ashtanga Yoga. You free your mind from, we are in a world of matter. We are surrounded by the objects of the senses. Isn't it? Like all around us, what do we have? Objects of eyes, objects of ears, sound, object of touch, object of taste, object of smell. So these are, all the objects are around us and we are right in the middle of it, slaves of our senses, godashas. Slaves of our senses. Therefore, a yogi tries to transcend that situation. He elevates himself to a platform where he is not going to be affected by all that. And that's how he actually focuses his mind or meditates on Krishna. Now, what is the difference between devotional service and yoga? What is the difference? What is the special attribute, special gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift is you stay in the world of matter, stay in the world of objects of the senses, but offer all those objects of senses to Krishna. You see the difference? In one way, you are trying to free yourselves from the influence of the objects of the senses. And on the other way, you are simply offering those objects of senses to Krishna. Now, out of these two, which one is easier? Not only easier, it's very, very easy. We don't have to run away from the surrounding. We can be very much there. We simply have to offer them to Krishna. Prapanchika toya buddha Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mumukshubhi Parityago Vairagang Falgu Kathate. It is Falgu. What they are trying to do, that like Parityaga, reject them, give them up, give up the objects of the senses, is very difficult. So that is that has been pointed out. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, But the other thing is, this is one thing, one way. This is prapanchikataya buddha, thinking that the objects that could have been engaged in Krishna's service, thinking those objects to be material, prapanchik. The objects that could have been used in Krishna's service, to think that those objects are actually material, and they try to reject them in order to achieve liberation. Mumukshubhi parityaga. That is called falgu vairagya. Vairagyam falgu kathate. And what is the other consideration? The other consideration is just recognize that everything can be used in Krishna's service, and simply use them in his service. So that is the devotional service. Therefore, we don't have to run away from anything or any place. Rather, we find when Prabhupada came, where did Prabhupada go? Where did Prabhupada establish his centers? Not in the solitary places. Prabhupada established his center right in the middle of the biggest cities of the world. And not only in the biggest cities, in the most crowded part of the city. Why? Because Prabhupada came to preach. So when it's a matter of preaching, then we try to select a place where our preaching will be most effective. So more the merrier. And more degraded is better. Because the more degraded they are, more qualified they are. Potito pavano hetu tabo avatar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to deliver the fallen souls. The prayer is Moshamo potito prabhu na paibe ar. You won't get anyone as fallen as I am. Therefore, I am the most qualified. What is our criteria for qualification? We are fallen. You have come to deliver the fallen. Therefore, since I am fallen, I am the most suitable candidate. So, and that is how it is. In the age of Kali, most of the people are extremely fallen. But doesn't matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver the fallen. So to be fallen is not a disqualification, rather it is a qualification. And the way is, just use everything in the service of Krishna. Try to use whatever, or accept whatever is there, whatever can be used in Krishna's service, just accept it. Generally, the tendency will be to see that if there is something that is beautiful, to reject that. Oh no, it's so beautiful, I don't want that. A beautiful flower has bloomed in the garden. A yogi will say, oh no, I don't want to see this beautiful garden. My mind will become affected. But a devotee will see, oh, such a beautiful flower. Let me offer it to Krishna. Let me collect these flowers and let me make a beautiful garland for Krishna and offer it to Krishna. Beautiful ornaments, let me offer it to Krishna. Beautiful dress, let me offer it to Krishna. Beautiful people, let me offer them to Krishna. So this is how devotee is trying to engage everything in Krishna's service. For a devotee, therefore devotee is not afraid of any situation. Even if a devotee has to go to heaven, he'll think, okay, now let me preach to the demigods. Even if a devotee has to go to hell, he'll think, let me preach to the residents of hell. Even if a devotee has to go to Jamalaya, he will say, well, here is a Mahajan. He won't see Jamdut as Jamraj as an object of fear. Generally, people are afraid of Jamraj. But a devotee's attitude is, oh, here is a Mahajan. He's one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. So I'm so fortunate to have his darshan. And a devotee will offer obeisances. And how will Jamraj react at that time? He'll embrace the devotee. He won't say that you get punished. So that is the wonderful situation of a devotee. In every circumstances, he's perfectly all right. And we have seen that time and time again through the behavior, through the activities of the devotees, exemplary devotees. Like Narottam Das Thakur, he was arrested by the Muslim Nawab. They came to arrest his father and uncle, but they ran away. So they couldn't find his father and uncle, but Narottam Das Thakur was at home, so they arrested him and took him to the Nawab. The purpose was to, because they didn't pay the tax, they were actually not paying. I'm sorry, Raghunath Das Goswami. So he was not paying, therefore his parents were not paying the tax. So they wanted to punish him. So the purpose was actually to punish him. But Raghunath Das Goswami took advantage of meeting the Nawab and he started to preach to them. And his preaching was so effective the Nawab started to cry. And told him that you are like my son. He became so affected by that him, and his heart changed completely. So this is a devotee. Wherever he goes, he preaches, and Krishna is in everyone's heart. So Krishna responds when somebody preaches. Then Krishna responds. Even, and we saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was going through the forest of Jharkhand. The wild animals started to dance in ecstasy. Why is that? Because the spirit soul heard the call of the super soul and responded. Even in the animal bodies, they were responding in that way. So this is the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. And that's why our business is not to run away, but offer everything to Krishna. Select everything for Krishna's service. Manasa deha geho jo kichu mor orpilu tuapade nandakishu. Shampade bipade jivane marane Dai mamo galatua upado varoni. Marovi rakhovi joicha tohara nitto dasho proti tua odhikara. Janmao bi moe icha joditor bhakato grihe jani janmo ho mor. Kito janamo ho jatha tua dash bohir mukho brahmo janme nahi ash. Bhukti mukti spriha bihino je bhakto labho ite tako shango yonurakto janako janani doito tanai prabhu guru pati tuhu sarvamai bhakoti binodo kahi sunakan radha nath tuhu hamaro paran. So should we sing this song now?